Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I'm speaking with Dr. Alicia Morgans of Dana-Farber Cancer Institute about the DEER study, which consists of real-world data from patients with non-metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer treated with a combination of darolutamide, enzalutamide, and apalutamide. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Morgans, to talk about the DEER study. Can you start with providing background on this study? Right now.
The DEER study was really performed so that we could try to get an understanding using real-world data, how patients actually take their androgen receptor antagonist therapy in settings of non-metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer. It was really designed to help us understand the duration of exposure to individual treatments, to understand why patients might be discontinuing their therapy, and also to understand whether they were having cancer progression, adverse events at different rates on the different treatments that are available.
Thank you, Dr. Morgans. What can you tell the audience about the way this study was designed?
We performed this study by using a network of EMRs, or electronic medical records, through the Precision Point Specialty Network, and this is all urology practices in the United States. And we identified patients who had non-metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer who were being treated in those centers between August 1st, 2019 and March 31st, 2022. And within that, we then tried to identify from an index period of starting either darolutamide, enzalutamide, or apalutamide for their non-metastatic CRPC, how long they were undergoing treatment with those particular agents, and what happened to them during treatment, whether they needed to discontinue the treatment, whether they continued on therapy, whether they had cancer progression, whether they had adverse events, to try to kind of get a picture, again, within a real-world setting, of how these medications were being used and how patients were faring.
Can you explain the results from the DEER study?
Sure. So we had, in this analysis, 870 patients with non-metastatic CRPC. And what we found was that in analyses, both unadjusted and adjusted, patients seemed to discontinue enzalutamide and apalutamide at slightly earlier time points than their darolutamide across a longitudinal follow-up. So the hazard ratio in the adjusted analysis for discontinuation of darolutamide versus enzalutamide was 0.726, suggesting a longer time to discontinuation on darolutamide. And when we compared darolutamide to apalutamide in an adjusted analysis, the hazard ratio for discontinuation was 0.609, again, favoring darolutamide in terms of longer time to discontinuation. When we thought about why patients were discontinuing therapy, of course, we thought about disease progression, adverse events, or other things that might be contributing to that. And we tried to understand and analyze what the reasons were for this. Now, we did have the analysis of charts by practitioners in these practices. So it was very lucky that we could try to get some understanding of what was happening, not only what was happening, I should say, but also why. And in this, we saw that the most common reason for discontinuation of therapy within this data set was adverse events. And the rate of adverse events was somewhat lower numerically among patients treated with darolutamide in terms of a reason for discontinuation than it was for enzalutamide and apalutamide, again, as a reason for discontinuation. So this doesn't characterize and quantify every single adverse event that was happening to these patients, but in the context of discontinuation, these rates were numerically different. There were also lower rates in terms of reasons for discontinuation of progression to mCRPC for patients who were treated with darolutamide when compared with those patients treated with enzalutamide and apalutamide. This is a numeric comparison. This is not a, there was not a statistical test performed to actually formally compare these, though. And other reasons for discontinuation included switching to another androgen receptor signaling inhibitor or cost reimbursement factors, and then a bundle of other things that were just sort of characterized as other or unknown. And when we looked additionally at this progression to metastatic CRPC, we saw that the proportion of patients with progression to mCRPC was lower among patients treated with darolutamide than among patients treated with apalutamide or enzalutamide. And this was assessed in a formal statistical comparison in both unadjusted and adjusted analyses.
Thank you for sharing, Dr. Morgans. Were there any findings from this study that you considered particularly exciting?
I think the fact that we had such a large number of patients with non-metastatic CRPC included in this real-world study was really exciting because this is a difficult disease state to characterize and one that is really difficult, particularly in claims-based analyses. It was important in this analysis that we did have the ability to look at the charts and to really confirm the non-metastatic CRPC status, and then also to have that assessment analysis and guidance on what the reasons were for discontinuation. I was a little bit surprised that the rates were a little bit less in terms of discontinuation of darolutamide compared to enzalutamide and apalutamide, just because I think that seeing how things play out in a real-world data set is going to be surprising no matter what we find, just because it really is a reflection of what's happening across many practices and within many patients. And we in our own practices only have an assessment of what we're doing and how we're practicing. And so it was really just interesting to see population wide. I really would say and emphasize that numerical comparisons are not things that we're testing statistically. And so to say that there is a significant difference in some of these things, particularly the adverse events, would not be correct. But at least it does give us the opportunity to make hypotheses around what's happening in the real world, why it's happening, and maybe gives us an opportunity as clinicians to think about ways that we can support our patients better and try to help keep them on treatment longer, because it very well could be that the longer we're able to keep patients on effective therapies, the longer time they will have to progression to metastatic CRPC. And we really want to do the best that we can for our patients and keeping them on effective therapies in ways that make sense for them and that are supportive of them in all ways is really, I think, one of the most important things.
Thank you, Dr. Morgans. So after the DEER study, what is next for the treatment of patients with non-metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer? Looking forward.
Well, non-metastatic CRPC remains an incurable disease state. And certainly when we think about where we want to go in the future, we need to think about ways to take incurable disease states, particularly ones with very limited metastatic burden, like a non-metastatic CRPC patient population, and figure out if there are ways or can be ways that we can cure them of their currently incurable prostate cancer. And as time goes on, I do think the other big push that we have for our patients is to try to figure out if we might be able to limit the use of therapies that decrease testosterone, if that will be possible at some point in time. I think they'll all feel a lot better and certainly will be happy for the major paradigm shift that will entail.